Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. The wonders of your great love. I'm reading from Psalm 17, verse 6 through verse 9, which says, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Let us have a little talk about love today. I know you're busy, but spare a few moments so we can talk about something that is vital to our existence. Stop and think about people who say they love you, people who you love. Love is dynamic and active. Passive love does not work. Someone who loves you need to show it. Otherwise, that love from that person is dead in the water. But I'm not going to beat around the bush, especially because you don't have a lot of time today. I want us to visit the text and explore the thoughts of the writer. The Bible will have us to believe that God loves us. We see that in one of the most popular texts from this great book, John 3:16. This 25-word statement is pretty powerful. It tells us that God loves the world. They could have stopped there, but like we say, love has to be experienced. Well, God's love is so dynamic that God did the greatest thing for us. Every human being who has ever been born is headed to a future separated from God in a horrible, horrible place. That is truth. God loves us so much that he created the perfect escape from that happening. He sent his son Jesus to become a special sacrifice that would open up the path to escape that damning future in horrible place called hell. But here is the fine print. You have to believe on him, and when you do, you get the most precious gift ever, the gift of eternal life. The fine print message says, if you believe in Jesus, believe that he is real, believe that he died for you, believe that he is your only hope to escape hell. If you believe all of that, then you will be presented with eternal life, which means you have escaped the hell future and now you will live with God forever. That is love. It is said, it is shown, and it delivers. So let us go back to our text. This writer, David, is talking to God about some problems that he's facing, serious problems. Just as an aside, you can talk to God about your most difficult issues, however simple it might seem to the next person. Well, David was having a relationship problem. He was experiencing hate and more hate from some people in his world. It is one thing for people to not speak to you, but it is a terrible experience when you experience hate from the people around you. So David says to God, I'm calling on you because more than anything else, I know you will answer me. That right there is confidence because of the real relationship between him and God. That is important. The line that has really grabbed my attention, however, is the one which says, show me the wonders of your great love. This is some kind of confidence for David. He is not guessing. What a way to describe love, your great love. This is the God who loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. This is the God who says that if I believe on Jesus, that he will give me the best gift of all times, eternal life. He has proven that. Nothing can top that. No wonder he can ask God to put that great love in action on his behalf. You know, like the kid who comes home and tells his dad that there is a bully down the road who keeps picking on him every time he walks by, snatch things from him, and just drives the living fear in him. So he comes home and he tells his father, this is not just a conversation. This kid knows that his dad is going to take care of this bully. And one more time, his father shows how much he loves his son, that he took care of things, and that bully has never messed with that kid again. David is asking God to show up and put this great love into action by responding to this request. First of all, I want you to keep me as the apple of your eye. I've always never been able to make literal sense of that statement. But if you agree that an apple is a precious, tasty, delightful fruit, and you are to God like that apple, then you know that you are special to God. Only someone who is special is the apple of your eye. David is asking God to never let the apple rot, never let the apple be stolen and destroyed, never let someone comes and devours this apple. Keep me as the apple of your eye. What exactly is behind all of this? David did not hold back. He asked God, hide me in the shadow of your wings, from those who are powerful enough to destroy me, my enemies who have closed in on me. This is pretty scary when you know that there are people who can destroy you, whether by weapons or by their behavior or by their words. You can't fight them, so you ask God to protect you. You who are important to God, protect me from my enemies who seem to be all around me. What is it that gives David such confidence to pray this to God? Because of the personal relationship he has with God, and because he knows that God's great love is not only words, but it is practical, it is powerful, it provides protection. Thank you, God, that one more time, you will show me the wonders of your great love for me. Wow. You want to talk more about this? Check me out at friendofclyde@gmail.com.